From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we are bringing you some of the best from our celebrity guest segment, Not My Job. You may remember from your course in American legal history that John Marshall was the first Supreme Court Chief Justice who established the principle of judicial review with the case Marbury versus Madison. And then we pretty much stopped paying attention and doodled little spaceships into the margins of the textbook. Imagine our surprise then when Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me actually became a part of legal history. Because when Stephen Breyer appeared in March of this year with panelists Paula Poundstone, Mo Rocca, and Luke Burbank, he became the first ever sitting justice of the Supreme Court to appear on a game show.
I have to admit, I'm a little uncertain of the protocol that applies to our guest this week. But just to be on the safe side, everybody listening to the radio right now, if you could all please rise. All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us from the chambers of the United States Supreme Court, please welcome Associate Justice Stephen Breyer. Justice Breyer, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I have to tell you that as soon as it was announced that you were going to be joining us to play this game, the question went up from a concerned nation, which is, why would a man such as you ever do such a thing like this? So let me put it to you, why would a man, not that I'm not grateful, but why would a man like you do such a thing as this?
Well, it was my sister-in-law who wanted me to do it, and I wanted peace in the family.
I understand.
I also rather like old-time radio programs. When I was a boy, I used to listen to The Lone Ranger and various other programs, you know, so they have a fond recollection for that.
Good. Quick, Mo, do your hoofbeats.
They use coconuts, you know. They use.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's
Don't
good.
Give it away.
Okay. But it seems as if, I mean, the Supreme Court justices do have a reputation for being private, not making public appearances, not making... making public statements. You've gone out. You've done your share, though, of public outreach.
That's true. I try when I can. I want to explain what we do on the court. I mean, what we do in the daytime.
Right. Well, we wanted to ask you about that. I mean, it's probably true. Certainly now in the age of C-SPAN and such, that your branch of government is the most still austere, a little bit mysterious. I don't have any idea what it's like in there. I picture it like the big meeting table in the Justice League of America cartoons. Big round, and you all have, like, motorized chairs and lots of good lighting. Is that what it's like in your deepest
understanding? We don't have motorized chairs. That's common knowledge that I think we don't have.
You don't have motorized chairs?
No, we don't. It is a big room.
Uh-huh.
And we do have a table in the conference room, and we listen to the lawyers, and the cases are pretty difficult. And we read the briefs, and we listen to the oral argument, and we discuss them, and we eventually write opinions. The job is mostly writing and reading.
Do you actually gather as a court and argue it out?
Yes.
You do?
But I've now been a member of the court for more than 12 years, and we've had some pretty difficult cases and sometimes contentious, and I've never heard in that conference room ever, I've never heard a voice raised in anger. We think hard about this. We're not always right. By any means, but I think people do their best, and it works, I think, pretty much the way it's supposed to.
Your Majesty, what can you do about parking tickets?
That's very disappointing. I can't do anything about it, and I have to watch very hard to obey the speed limit.
My parking tickets, actually.
Your parking tickets.
We were reading about your career in the court, and it seems that until the recent appointment of Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, you were the junior member of the Supreme Court for a long time, and that means you had particular tasks, right?
Yeah, I did. I had, as a junior member, when we're in the conference room, if somebody knocks on the door, I open it.
Really?
Yeah, I did it for 12 years. I thought, one day, in fact, I said, I think about a year or two ago, somebody knocked on the door, which is unusual. Someone had coffee for Justice Scalia. And I opened the door, and I brought it in. And he said, well, you have been doing this for a long time. Yes. I said, 12 years. I've gotten very good at it. He said, no, you haven't, actually.
Did he then send you back because you didn't use non-fat creator?
No, it was all right. It was all right. It was only a joke.
I'm sure that it is very professional and not rancorous or anything, just the way that you've described. But given that that's been your role as the junior justice, especially when you first took that position, was there ever a time when people would knock underneath the table and pretend it was the door?
No, but you know, when Justice Alito took over, for at least two or three months, the door would knock, I'd jump up.
Well, I was thinking about that.
It was like Pavlov and the dog.
Because, of course, a little bit about 2 years ago, when Justice Roberts was first nominated, you must have been, finally, somebody else will have to open the darn door. And then, of course, with the passing of Justice Rehnquist, he was nominated to be Chief Justice, and they bypassed it, and you were still the junior guy again. It must have
been actually, interestingly enough, I sort of thought maybe I'd get the world's record as the longest-serving junior justice. Yeah. I missed it by about, I think, only a few weeks, and I could have gone down in history as the answer to a trivia question.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
wow. Now, when the
now you'll just have to be known as a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
hey,
boy,
tough
that
break.
Sucks, huh?
How come you guys are so humorless during the State of the Union address? Like when the camera pans.
That's true. You never
you
applaud
never,
or smile
or
react
or,
in any way. It's true.
Well, we can't. It's like the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We it's sometimes political in what they say, and we don't want to say or appear to be taking a side on anything political.
No, the Joint Chiefs are a laugh riot in comparison.
Speaking of laughter, something else we wanted to ask you about. We found that there have been two studies, two distinct studies, one by the New York Times, one by an independent court observer. These were studies of who's the funniest member of the Supreme Court. And the New York Times study compared a period of time, they found that looking at the transcripts, they looked for the words laughter after comments by justices. You had 28 big laugh lines.
Oh.
Scalia only had 25. The other guy, different period of time, Scalia had 77. You only had 45.
Well, I'm not sure. They must not have much to do with their time. But the being the sort of the most humorous of the Supreme Court justices might like. It's like being one of the shortest tall people. I mean,
you don't feel a rivalry. You don't like consider arguments. You don't read the briefs and go, oh wow, I can riff on that principle.
No.
I'm gonna kill with
a yo mama contest. I love that.
Now. Be
that's
that as
the reporter's invention.
Be that as it may, you must have enjoyed yourself a little bit with the case this week over the famous bong hits for Jesus Bank. I mean, compared to the dry contractual issues that you sometimes have to deal with, please tell me you looked forward to that argument a little bit.
Yes, I look forward to it a little
bit. Okay. Did you, I have not read the complete arguments, did you in fact engage in any drug humor at all, just a little bit?
I don't engage in any direct humor.
No.
Humor is a matter for other people to judge.
I understand. Okay, it's not up to you. One thing I've always wondered about the Supreme Court, considering the deliberation that goes into the actual important decisions that control our legal framework, how do you go about ordering lunch?
This is a very sensitive topic.
Okay.
I mean, for many years, I'd risen to the highest administrative level I'm likely ever to rise to, which is being the judge's representative on the court's cafeteria committee.
No.
There's a cafeteria committee?
Yeah, and I'm not sure I was a great success in that position. I don't tell anyone.
Justice Stephen Breyer, we are so honored to have you with us, and we have asked you here to play a game that we're calling...
Your last album was inspired by $40,000 worth of primo hash and a disembodied spirit called Sheldon.
Blender Magazine, I'm sure you're a subscriber, recently published a list of the 50 craziest pop stars of all time. And using that list, we are going to ask you three questions about the rock and roll lifestyle. Answer two of these questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle, playing an acid version of the Star Spangled Banner on his Fender Axe on their answering machine. Or whatever they want, actually. Carl, who is Justice Stephen Breyer of the U.S. Supreme Court playing for?
Peter, the justice is playing for James Hayes of Kansas City, Missouri.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Here's your first question. David Bowie who we now know is a pleasant enough middle-aged man, was in his day a little wacky. Back in the 70s, he became so paranoid once that he did what? A, he tried to exorcise Satan from his own swimming pool. B, he refused to eat anything before his personal bodyguard held it in his own mouth just for a second. Or C, he refused to go near a microphone for 2 months because he thought aliens were stealing his voice.
Hmm. Well, I would guess it's either B or C, and I would take B.
You're going to take B. You're going to say he refused to eat anything before the bodyguard actually put it in his mouth, stood there, did not die, took it out of his mouth, handed it to Mr. Bowie.
Yeah. My daughter might know, but that's what I'll guess, yeah.
All right. I'm afraid, actually, it was A. He tried to exorcise Satan from his swimming pool.
Oh.
His ex-wife tells the story in her book about life with Bowie. She says that he became convinced Satan was living in the swimming pool, conducted an exorcism, and even weirder than that, she says the pool started to bubble. And she looked in and she saw some sort of dark shape writhing on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
I've seen those advertised in The New Yorker, right?
Yeah, those little...
You can have those. Endless pool, is that the
endless
same
pool.
Thing?
No, they think it's a satanic pool and the endless pool.
Different. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, now you have two more chances here, so...
It's kind of funny to hear a Supreme Court justice make, like, a random pick.
Yeah.
It is a little... It's a little disconcerting.
I mean, I guess I know that you must do that sometime, but not in your professional life, of course.
Yeah. That is kind of funny. Well, also, unlike the Supreme Court, you know, we give you another chance. You know, where, you know,
sure.
It's not just like 30 minutes and you're out. You have another chance, so here's your second question.
All right.
Iggy Pop, I'm sure you know, lead singer of the Stooges, one of the inventors of punk rock. He once did what for an entire year? A, he refused to wear a shirt anywhere he went. B, he ate nothing but German sausages. Or C, spoke only in rhyme.
I'll take C.
You're going to take C, he spoke only in rhyme.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid it was B. He ate nothing but sausages.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that, man.
A weird kind of punk rock asceticism.
Yeah.
He was during the period he was living with David Bowie in Berlin.
But was it, you could have pork, chicken, sort of beef sausages?
We were not able to ascertain actual extent of the variety of sausages he ate, but apparently he ate only sausages.
I'm sorry. You would thought that would have made him kind of bloated. And fat, right?
Not necessarily. It could be a turkey sausage, a tofu sausage.
Plus, and this
I love we have Stephen Breyer here, and we're doing the merits of Iggy Pop sausage.
Yeah. Well, he's a human being.
Mr. Breyer?
No, he's like, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know, I'm going to take a second and ask you. I mean, we've all been sort of dealing with this as do people treat you a bit, shall we say, formally, because you are, of course, Justice of the Supreme Court?
Many do. Some don't.
Does it bother you?
My family doesn't.
I'm sure not.
Which do you prefer?
Which do I prefer?
Yeah.
No, I prefer not formal. I prefer not formal.
That's why we're just kind of getting down with you.
Yeah. That's why we're bringing up the sausages. Do you have like a ritual in which you say, hey, I don my robe one voluminous head hole at a time like anybody else? I mean, is there some, do you find yourself, what would you say? Do you find yourself... You know, having to put people at ease because you are a justice of the Supreme Court?
Sometimes, but I wouldn't do it that particular way.
All right, now you have one.
Wait, I have now that you mentioned the robe, this has been eating away at me.
Yeah.
I happen to have OCD. Do you lint lift?
What?
Sorry?
Your robe, the black robes,
yeah.
Do they get fuzz on them?
The question for you, Justice Breyer, is do you ever have to maintain your robes with an adhesive and or other kind of lint removal device?
Or does Justice Alito pick it off for you?
No, actually, I bought my robe, I think, about 25 years ago when I in Boston.
Where did you buy your own robe?
Where do you go for it?
I went to some shop down, I remember, down...
Get
it was downtown, and then I was. It's a very,
great.
Right? It's a synthetic.
You know robes are us.
You've been great up until now, and I've so trusted you, and I thought we're in good hands. But there's no. You bought your robe in downtown Boston?
Yeah.
Where?
I can't remember the name of the place.
He's not allowed to. No.
It's a synthetic.
It's a synthetic robe, you're saying.
Yeah. Is it synthetic? What,
yeah,
a rayon?
It has no lint.
Oh, that's great.
The nicer robe was Justice O'Connor's and Justice. Ginsburg.
Oh, what do they have? Is it lined?
They're very nice.
No, the synthetics are nice because they wick the sweat during intense arguments.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Very
good. But how do you...
Technical fabric.
First of all, I would have thought that got provided.
Yeah. No.
No, they don't. No,
it's like
really?
Working at the IHOP,
no,
for heaven's sakes.
You know... All right. Okay. All right. This is... I know. I think that we don't need to disparage Justice Breyer.
It's probably not a good idea.
Because
Gitmo this time of year is quite hot.
No. I think it's an honorable thing, if you will, that he buys his own robe.
Do you ever wear the robe to the supermarket just to wow people? That would be awesome.
I believe the sign does say 12 items or less or Supreme Court justices. So, all right. Now, we have one more question for you, Justice Breyer. Here we go. Now, I'm sure, Justice Breyer, you've heard of Ozzy Osbourne. Yes? No? Names come across your... No. Okay. Well, Ozzy Osbourne, well-known misbehaving rock star of the last two decades or so, he is also known for having some substance abuse problems. Once, when checking in for a rehab session at the well-known Betty Ford Clinic, he did what? A, he immediately asked for directions to the bar. B, he propositioned Liza Minnelli, who happened to be walking by. Or C, hungry, he ate two plastic pieces of fruit from a table centerpiece.
C.
You say with confidence.
Yep.
No, it was A.
No. Oh.
He asked for directions to the bar.
There we are.
He was dead serious, too, and I bet he found it. So, Carl, how did the Associate Justice do answering our questions?
Not very well, Peter. I'm afraid Justice Breyer struck out. No correct answers.
Back to the appeals court.
What about Mr. Hayes?
Yeah.
I'd send him. I can send him. If you give me his address, I'll send him a copy of the Constitution.
Wow.
That, I think, would be very exciting. Awesome.
You I thought you were going to send him his gavel.
Are you allowed to, like, make corrections in it as you go? I mean, can you, like, strike out that?
A lot of cross-outs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it depends, I guess, on which justice is sending it.
I actually, sir, I feel more and more confident. This is one of the few shows that when you fail, it's a mark of pride, really. I feel more and more confident about your ability to protect our Constitution, knowing that you didn't know the answers to any of those three questions.
We don't want you reading Blender and watching the Osbournes on TV. We want you cogitating upon the law, and we're glad you're doing it. Stephen Breyer is an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. He is also the author of the recent book, Active Liberty, Interpreting Our Democratic Constitution. Justice Breyer, thank you so much for being with us today.
A real pleasure.